The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, Franklin Communications, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to columbustoday.com, keyword dentally speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kavitko's comments and advice in the place of receiving an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kavitko. Call 459-9769. That's 459-9769 to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kavitko.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kavitko. Thank you for joining me here on Sunny 95, 94.7 FM. All right, we have a great show today. What we're going to do is listen to some interviews that I did with a gentleman, a night auditor at a hotel in Colorado. Before I go there, let's give out Dr. Kavitko's question of the day. According to the American Dental Association, which group is more likely to raise their fees every year, general dentists or specialists? And while you're at it, if you want to guess by what percent raise their fees, that would be also kind of neat, so you can do that. All right, now, remember, my golf outing to raise money for the Down Syndrome Association is just a little less than 8 weeks away. It's on July 1st at both Bent Tree Golf Club and Royal American Links. Silent auction begins at 7, shotgun start at 8. It's $125 a person or $500 a team. Includes breakfast, steak, lunch, beer, beverages from Sam Adams, greens fees, and cart. Okay, so let's go ahead and listen to this interview that I did. I think it's pretty interesting, a very interesting gentleman. And we covered a lot of different topics, so I think you'll find this interesting. Here we go. Well, I am doing my Teeth Across America interviews. I'm traveling. I'm in Denver. Actually, I'm in Fort Collins, Colorado, which is an hour or 15 minutes north of Denver. And I met a gentleman named Franklin. He is a night auditor at a hotel, and he's nice enough to talk with me here. And so, Franklin, thank you very much for joining me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. This is interesting. I've never done anything like this before, so...
Well, I think it'll be fun. As you know, it's a dental show, but we're going to talk about some other fun facts. For example, before I get into the serious questions, how much do you think an elephant's tooth weighs?
I would guess a single tooth would weigh around a pound.
It actually weighs 8 to 10 pounds.
Is that right? Oh, wow.
Think about that. I mean,
an elephant. That's that's incredible.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
How about this one? I like to ask this. What year do you think local anesthetic was developed, discovered, invented, whatever you would call it?
I would have guessed that maybe it was in Europe, and then it was probably somewhere around 1890-something.
You're awful close. It was 1846.
Okay, all right.
And when you think about it, thousands and thousands of years that humans have been on this earth, to be born at a time when we even have local anesthetic, only 160 some years ago.
Oh yeah, that's impressive. The idea that we suffered so much during I see some of these things where these primitive people have done head surgeries. They've actually drilled into cavities, to create holes in people's heads. And I wondered how these people were managed to survive that kind of trauma.
Oh, I know. And when somebody comes to the office and says, "I don't like the shots, you know, or I don't like the feeling it gives me," I try to remind them how lucky they are to even have local anesthetic available to them.
Oh, I know. And the little I know about dentistry, too, I think that that's really improved vastly in the last 10 years or so. The skill with which dentists give those shots and the kinds of anesthesia they give. I know when I do go to the dentist and have those things done, it's actually much less than I remember as a child.
Right. It's not as traumatic. It doesn't take as long. The needles are smaller. Have you ever wondered, have you ever looked at the needle?
No, I'm usually, they're so close to my face, I can't see them by the time they're going in.
Well, I've looked at the needle. We use a 30 gauge, which is really small. I always wonder how they get the hole in there.
Oh, yeah. How do they do that?
I'm not really sure.
Yeah, interesting. It'd be interesting to find out about the needle itself.
I mean, it's about the size of a straight pin, and yet it's hollow.
Yeah, how does that work?
Somebody told me they thought it was a mold. Someone else told me it was like extruded, like you take a picture of a copper tube, like a copper plumbing or something, although this would probably be stainless steel, and that maybe they heat it and stretch it.
It could be. I know that I used to work for a defense contractor, and some of the things they can do with microelectronics will blow you away. So small is not really an issue these days, I don't think.
Someone else said they'd drill a hole in it. I don't know if that's possible.
I don't know. It'd take an awfully small drill.
And a lot of patience and a steady hand, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'd like to know that. Now I never thought about it.
Okay, well, maybe I can find somebody that knows the answer. Maybe I should go to where they make the needles.
Yeah, good idea.
To look that up on, we'll find a map quest to who makes the needles.
Okay, okay. All right.
All right. Now, I'm just curious, how long has it been since you have been to your dentist?
It's been a little over 2 years. Since I moved to Colorado, I've not found a dentist. And I'm part Native American, so I was going to a clinic in Northern California when I last saw a dentist.
Oh, okay. Now, here's another little trivia question for you, because 2 years is the parameter. What percent of the adult population in this country doesn't seek regular dental care, doesn't go to the dentist on a regular basis? And the definition of that is, if you haven't seen a dentist in the last 2 years, you're one of those, that percentage. So what do you think that percentage is?
I would guess at least half.
You're very close. It's 40%.
Wow. Okay. I'm surprised it's not more than that, but yeah, that it's so expensive if you don't have insurance that I think the average person, out of both fear and lack of funds, will put off going to a dentist if they can.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And the focus of my show, in a lot of ways, is to get people to realize that it doesn't have to. They don't have to be fearful anymore.
Oh well, good. Well, then your show should serve a good service, because it's a shame to see people suffer from both lack of dental attention as well as just general care if it's based upon their fear of the dentistry business. It is a scary thing for most people, I think.
Yeah, it is. Now, okay, I wanted to ask, as far as we know why you've stayed away, and I think it has something to do with insurance. Maybe you don't have it right now.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Okay, but you had it before?
I didn't. I had it through a free service through the state of California.
Oh, it was free.
It was free.
Okay, I met another Native American when I was in the Chicago area. So, and what's interesting to me is, neither he nor you would strike me as being part Native American. I guess I have this sense of what a person should look like.
A lot of times you'll see people you won't even know. Excuse me, I've got to attend to my guest here, and I'll be right back.
Okay. Oh, no problem. We'll just put it on pause.
Experience, artistry, creativity. There are still professions where these words mean something. Studio B Hair Design still believe that practice does make perfect. Whether it's a precision cut, custom color, or something uniquely your own, Studio B can help you find just the right look, all in a comfortable, relaxing atmosphere right in the heart of Clintonville. Let Studio B Hair Design give you the best professional hair care at the best price. And should you need a quick gift idea, why not give a Studio B gift certificate for a birthday, anniversary, or subtle way of telling that special someone your hair needs help? So when looking for a fresh approach to your hair, do what lots of people do in Central Ohio. Trust experience. Trust the professionals at Studio B Hair Design. Studio B Hair Design, 21 Brighton Road, just off High Street in Clintonville. Call for your appointment now, 614-263-8661. 263-8661.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. I live my life and practice dentistry by 4 very important principles: comfort, compassion, respect, and care. They are my guide to providing the very best and most comfortable dental care for you and your family. We want you to feel safe, relaxed, and confident that you are getting the very best care. If you need to correct one tooth or have a total smile makeover, we can help. We provide cosmetic and restorative services including tooth whitening, crowns and bridges, complete and partial dentures, root canals, extractions, and implants. At Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we work hard to earn your trust.
Call to schedule an appointment, 262-9588, or online at drkvitko.com.
Dr. Kvitko & Associates.
You make me smile, please stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go. The rain is falling on my window pane.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Sunny 95. Thanks for joining me. We're doing one of my Teeth Across America interviews today, listening to an interview I did with Franklin, who is in Fort Collins, Colorado. We had a couple more guesses to our question of the day. Avia sent in a guest saying she thinks it's the specialists that raise their fees, more likely to raise their fees than generalists. And Craig sent in a guest saying he thinks the GPs raise their fees, are more likely to raise their fees every year than the specialists. We'll give out the answer at the very end of the show. All right, remember, the golf outing, July 31st, phone 263-6020, that's 263-6020, or info at dsaco.net. All right, you can follow me on Twitter at Dr. Kvitko, or Facebook at Dr. Brian Kvitko, and listen to the podcast at columbustoday.com. So, the next part of this interview, we're going to go ahead and start that now.
I got a question for you too, one I've never come across.
Okay, good. So we're talking to Franklin, and I was going to ask him a question. He just told me he has one for me as well. I'm going to go first, and that is, I like to ask people just kind of fun questions, just to see their test their dental knowledge. So my question is, how many teeth do you think adult humans have?
32.
Yeah. Yeah, you're the first one to ever get that right.
Well, I try to keep the trivial knowledge in my head for just such occasions.
You never know when you're going to be asked things like that.
All right, and what's your question?
My question is, I was actually sort of briefing myself, knowing I was going to be interviewed here, but I had a question for you concerning something called biophosphates, and they say that if you've ever been given these drugs, that your teeth can't be pulled, and what is the issue surrounding that? Why can your teeth not be pulled? Is it a bleeding issue or some kind of issue that endangers your health if they are pulled?
Okay, what you're referring to is called bisphosphonate, not bisphosphonates.
Okay.
And bisphosphonates are what you find in Boniva and Fosamax. And they are drugs that are designed to treat osteoporosis.
Oh, okay.
And so what happens if you take high doses, like for cancer-type therapy, if it's in a high dose like that, what it does is it allows your body to lay down more layers of bone. It helps grow bone, okay?
Okay.
And when there's this normal procedure anyway our body goes through. We have what are called osteoblasts, which grow bone, and osteoclasts, which eat bone. And a bisphosphonate stimulates the osteoblasts, the ones that make bone, to grow. And it makes sense because the person is losing bone to their osteoporosis. Well, what happens is if you get too high of a dose, your body continues to lay down bone. It gets so thick, so dense, it actually closes up the little hollow portions. You know how bone is spongy inside? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know this, but that's where red blood cells are made.
No, I didn't know that.
In the bone marrow?
Well, I guess I did, considering I had a brother-in-law recently die of bone cancer, and so I did have some knowledge of that. But inside the marrow is where those things are formed, is that right? And
yes.
But it's intersection of the bone itself.
Right.
In the teeth, though.
Well, now here's what happens. The bone is, there are new bone cells growing because of the bisphosphonates, the Fosamax, Boniva, and there are some others, which I can't remember right now. And the body doesn't know when to stop laying new bone down, and so it lays down too much. And it's not like you get this growth of bone that makes you disfigured, but what you get is very, very dense bone. And the blood supply that goes through it would normally go through it. There are little blood vessels that traverse it. That gets squeezed off, pinched off. Basically, it strangulates the blood supply. And when that happens, the bone dies.
Oh, so if the bone effectively dies, what happens? Is the limb itself become? I mean, if it was a leg bone, would the limb begin to atrophy?
It would actually begin to die off. And so these infections are very, very severe, and that's what you're referring to when they said you can't have a tooth pulled. The answer to that is kind of yes and no. I mean, if you have that kind of infection in your bone, it will not heal with antibiotics. The only thing that can correct that problem would be surgery. Somebody, a dentist, if it's in your mouth, or an oral surgeon, or your physician, would have to go in and remove all of the dead areas of bone and kind of like trim back to where there is still a blood supply and it is still healthy, and pack it with some donated bone particles. Mm-hmm. And try to get it to heal. So there's a little bit of a miscommunication about that. People think if I take Boniva, I'm going to get that infection. They think if it's Fosamax or whatever, that they shouldn't take those. The reality is it only happens with cancer treatment doses, like very, very, very high doses, like IV doses. Mm-hmm. And if it happens, though, you're exactly right. I mean, it's serious. It's almost like as serious as that flesh-eating bacteria, you know, that you've heard about. It's not flesh-eating bacteria, but it's the results can be somewhat similar.
Okay. It's funny. I think that most of us think of bones. We see them, most of us see our bones long after they've been out of an individual. And we think of them as support systems, but not living organs, living materials. So the bones are actually primary and relative to our life rather than just holding our flesh together.
Definitely, yeah. They don't just support us so that we can be 6'4". They grow blood cells, which is life-giving.
Yeah. Well, very interesting to know.
The other thing is, did you realize teeth are alive also?
Well, I would assume so, having this discussion. Yeah, I mean, I know I get severe pain in them if I have a toothache. Yeah. So.
And inside your tooth is not only a nerve, which is what reminds you if you have a problem, but blood vessels.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's interesting. So when you pull a tooth, that's not just bleeding from the jaw itself. There could be some blood retained inside the tooth.
Right, and if you were to break your tooth, maybe you have an accidental fall. Uh-huh. You fall and hit a tooth, a front tooth or something. If you break it off, it'll bleed from the inside. It'll bleed just like you cut your arm.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, you know, people need to take care of their teeth. They need to protect them. That's why we recommend mouth guards and face shields if you're a hockey player. Mm-hmm. You know, I never understand why NHL players don't wear some kind of a cage when they're playing. It seems like for them it's a badge of honor to be missing a few teeth, but I just don't get that.
Yeah, it's the old machismo thing, I guess.
Yeah. Climbing the bowl.
Yeah, they just it makes them feel macho, right?
Uh-huh, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and then, now, I asked you about adult teeth. How many teeth do you think children have?
I'm guessing somewhere in the range of 28. I really don't know. I hadn't thought about that since I was a child.
Since you were a child, yeah.
Yeah.
children have 20 teeth.
Okay. Why so much fewer?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Why so much? Fewer than adults?
Very good question. They have smaller mouths. They're just little, just like their hands are little.
Okay.
You know, but this is interesting. I think is if you look in your mouth. And you were to look in your mouth, you'll see you have like incisors, then you have your cuspids, which are the pointy ones in the corners, and then you have bicuspids, which by definition means two cusps, right?
Okay.
So they're like two mountain peaks. Mm-hmm. And then behind the bicuspids, you have molars, which are like four peaks. Mm-hmm. Well, the baby teeth are replaced by the bicuspids on forward, meaning molars don't replace any baby teeth. So if you look in your mouth, like tomorrow, tonight, when you look in the mirror, look in there, what you're going to see is the size that your jaw was when you were a child, mm-hmm. is the same size as your jaw is now from the front teeth back to the second bicuspid.
Okay.
It's just like, so what happened then is the your jaw grew, but mm-hmm. it grew behind.
The majority of the growth is in the back part of the jaw, along the sides of the teeth line rather than in the front.
Right. The front section is formed, you know, relatively young, and then it stays that size, and then the back teeth come in behind it. And
what's the evolutionary idea behind that? What's caused that kind of growth pattern? And
well, I think my opinion is that it has to deal with the proportions, and that you can't have an adult-sized jaw in a child's body.
Uh-huh.
And you have to, if you had a child-sized jaw in an adult body, it wouldn't function very well because you wouldn't have enough chewing surface.
Well, it's interesting, when a child is born, their head is abnormally large, and a child, by the time they're age 4, their head size, actually they grow into their head size by the age of 12, I think.
Well, that's right. And at 12 is when they have lost all of their baby teeth.
Oh, okay. So they finally kind of catch up.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Pretty neat, huh?
Canton City Chinese Restaurant is an established, family-owned and operated Chinese restaurant. You can come and sit down and enjoy the relaxed atmosphere of the Canton City, or if you're on the go or need lunch for your office or dinner for home, call us at 614-261-0262 to order takeout. We have a variety of Cantonese, Hunan, and Sichuan cuisine. You will love the price and be astonished how generous the portions are. Come visit us in our fantastic location at 4330 North High Street, located just south of Henderson in Clintonville. We are open 7 days a week. If you cannot pick from our extensive menu, we would suggest you start with our General Tso chicken. It is the best in the city. When you are craving Chinese food and have tried all the rest, come and order from the best, Canton City Chinese Restaurant in Clintonville. Call us at 614-261-0262 or stop by and see us at 4330 North High Street.
Seagull Bags encourages you to take custom to a new level. Located at 3343 North High Street, just south of East North Broadway. They specialize in handmade custom courier bags and backpacks. All of their bags are completely waterproof and built to withstand any nasty condition you can think of. Stop by their shop and design a custom bag from scratch with one of the people that is actually going to build your bag. You choose the size, all the colors, and what pockets you need and where you want them. They also do custom embroidery. They have a full line of bags from tool bags to gigantic backpacks. Their bags are ideal for cyclists, students, or anyone that values quality and customization. Check out their website at seagullbags.com or come visit their Clintonville storefront. Let them make something amazing for you.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thanks for joining me. We had another guest to our question of the day, and I think we're going to go ahead and give the answer as well right now. So the question was, according to the American Dental Association, which group is more likely to raise their fees every year, general dentists or specialists? And Hatu sent in a guess of specialists. So we have three specialists and one GP as far as guesses. The answer actually is GPs, and actually 67% raise their fees on a yearly basis, while only 63% of specialists raise their fees every year. Okay, let's get back into our interview. And I think you're going to find, I don't know, I just think he's an interesting gentleman, and I want to just hear what else he had to say. Here we go.
So we're talking with Franklin, and we're talking about, we were talking about bisphosphonates and how they lay down bone, and we talked about osteoblasts, osteoclasts. And then we got to talking a little bit off the air here about sinus lifting so that we can put implants in. And sinus lifting has to be done when the sinus grows to be too big. And by the way, sinuses get big from pressure. So if you push on bone, it gets eaten away. And if you don't have a tooth, like you said you had a tooth extracted, was it an upper tooth?
It was a lower tooth.
Okay. A lower tooth, you wouldn't have to worry because there's no sinus down there. But if it were an upper tooth, because you wouldn't have anything to continually kind of tap, tap, tap on the bone, so to speak, over time, your sinus cavity would grow. It would get larger. It would basically take up the space where your tooth root used to be.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
Yeah, and so therefore, if you wait too long after having an extraction, you could need what's called a sinus lift.
Okay, so once you have a tooth removed, there should be some tendency to putting something back in to fill the gap? Or?
Definitely. If you're going to have an implant and you're about to have a tooth extracted, you should ask your dentist to place replacement bone in there. This would be donated bone. It would be either human or cow bone that's been demineralized, sterilized, re-sterilized, and certain size particles, usually 0.25 micro... 0.25, it's not millimeters, what am I trying to say? You know what? I'm drawing a blank. The point is the size has to be a certain size. If it's too small, the body thinks it's a foreign object, like it's a piece of dirt. But if it's too big, it can't attach to it either. So somebody's done the research and figured out you need a certain particle size. But anyway, that goes in, and when that's in, it prevents the socket from kind of shrinking. I don't know if you, maybe if you looked in your mouth, you'll notice that where your tooth used to be dips down.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, there's a little crevice there.
Yes. So by placing something in there, the bone integrates with it and it fills in naturally. It actually regrows and fills in that process that's empty.
That hole that's empty. It does, yes.
Okay. Wow. Didn't know that.
And so now if you want to have an implant now, you could potentially still have enough bone, but if you go to your dentist, they measure and they find out you don't, we can add bone. We can do like a block bone graft, which is a little piece of bone that we buy that we hold on with some screws until it incorporates, and then you can go back in and have the implant placed then. Or you can have the ridge kind of like sprung open, kind of, it's called ridge splitting. Sounds nasty, but it's not. You just kind of take the inner wall and the outer wall and kind of separate them a little bit and put some bone particles inside, hold them apart until it heals, and then you have a wider area again for an implant to go.
So even at my age, I could still get dental implants if necessary.
Oh, definitely. Your age and a lot older. In fact, if you think about it, it's the people in middle age to older age that actually need them.
Yeah, I would think so. But I often wondered if the body was healthy enough or even able to withstand that kind of shift. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but don't they actually drill basically a rod or a screw into the jawline and then place the tooth on top of that screw?
That's exactly right. Yes, I place implants in the office, and I think the oldest person I've ever done one on was 91.
Wow, and everything was okay?
Yep, if they're healthy. And there aren't other medical complications to doing it, it's no big deal.
Let me ask you something. As a dentist, when you're viewing people's mouths, viewing their general quality of their teeth and their jawline and so forth, are you able to detect sometimes illnesses that people might not have known about just by examining the facial area or the teeth area, and say perhaps you might give them some indication of some potential for another illness they might be possibly be exposed to or...
Yes. Actually, I mean, the most common one that would come to mind would be discovering cancer.
Okay, that's my main concern, was cancer. Okay.
There have been cases where a dentist was the first to discover that a person had AIDS, for example.
I have a question for you, one more question for you.
Okay.
I've always wondered about, when I go to the dentist, it seems to me that it's an inside joke that once they have all the paraphernalia in my mouth, I can't talk, literally I can't talk, they just begin to ask me all these questions that I can't answer clearly, literally can't answer clearly. And I'm often wondered if it isn't just sort of an inside dentist joke to do that to people.
No, it's not really. It's not a joke at all. To be honest, we can understand more than you think.
Oh, okay. You speak mumble.
I do. I speak mumble. In fact, I mumble, if you hadn't noticed already. And so, and it's funny because it's almost like its own little language, because sometimes it's just, you can tell by the number of syllables in the word that they're using, what they're trying to say.
Yeah, okay.
It'd be like, you know, something like that. And it's like, and I maybe, every once in a while I'll tease somebody and I'll, like you said, I'll fill up their mouth with cotton rolls or whatever, get them all numb, and I'll say, so, Franklin, what do you think about the world situation right now?
And blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. And, you know, we just want to have fun and talk and make it a pleasant visit. And there's something to be said for having a captive audience.
Yeah, I'm sure.
In more ways than one, right?
Yes, that's right.
Well, Franklin, you've been really great to spend your time talking to me. I know that you had great questions. I think my listeners are going to learn a lot from the answers. And
all right, Dr. Kvitko, it's been a pleasure. It's been fun. I've never done this before, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And good luck in your illustrating, right?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thanks again for joining me. Be sure to tune in next Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Every Sunday morning at 7. Feel free to call us with your questions at 459-9769. And have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to columbustoday.com, keyword Dentally Speaking, to access full half-hour episodes of Dr. Kvitko shows.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.